Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
An annoyance and a catastrophe. The little mosquito is our unwelcome summer companion. And mosquitoes are the object of considerable wrath and lore and song and lyric. A little visit, reminding me of his presence and them. But what if you stop singing about mosquitoes and scale up to look at a 6 billion person planet and a 2 or 3 quadrillion population of mosquitoes in any given time? The global population of mosquitoes is, in fact, unknowable. But in the war between Homo sapiens and the more than 3,100 creatures from the Culicidae family that go by the species name Aedes, Anopheles, Toxorhynchites, the mosquitoes are doing fine. In his latest piece for The New Yorker, Michael Spector writes that mosquitoes have been responsible for half the deaths in human history. As little kids often say in the summer, "What is the purpose of mosquitoes, Daddy?" Public health officials ask the same thing as they observe the human death toll caused by mosquitoes. Is there a way of changing the purpose of these creatures, genetically modifying mosquitoes themselves to bother someone else or not bother anyone at all anymore? Michael Spector joins us in the studio to explain this new mosquito solution and talk a little bit about the carnage. Michael, it's great to see you again.
It's great to be back.
You know, let's talk first of all about the scale of deaths associated with mosquitoes. And are we talking about the mosquito doing the killing or something the mosquito delivers doing the killing or all the above?
They're mostly an excellent delivery agent. They deliver malaria, yellow fever, dengue, dozens and dozens of viral diseases and parasitic diseases.
And when public health officials talk about the greatest priorities on Earth, when they, you know, talk about the AIDS crisis, when they talk about hunger, they talk about access to water, they talk about polio, almost always there's an asterisk saying, but of course, malaria is the big killer, right?
Malaria kills more people than anything else in a single year, but they're all terrible. I mean,
yeah,
there are many, many mosquito-borne diseases that kill and maim people, and dengue, of course, is one of them.
Are mosquitoes evolved to do this sort of damage, or do they want to preserve their host? You'd think that they'd want to keep us around, not try to kill half of us through human history.
Well, killing half means that a lot of us are left to bite and kill. I think entomologists will tell you that mosquitoes have no interest in us whatsoever. They just have an interest in getting blood to nourish their eggs so that they continue to live. And so we are in only a few hundred species of mosquitoes bite humans, and the rest don't even care about us.
Isn't that chilling?
It's a little chilling.
Really
it's
chilling.
All a little chilling.
I mean, is that what I should tell my kids? The purpose of mosquitoes is just to take your blood and to leave some bad stuff behind.
Well, kids are into vampire movies.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. So let's talk about the genetic modification. It seems to me that if you could get the mosquitoes to adopt a different program in their lives, that we might be spared. What are some of the strategies that are being looked at?
Well, the strategy that I wrote about in this issue of The New Yorker, which I think is quite fascinating, is to modify the male Aedes aegypti mosquito. That's the one that carries dengue fever, also carries yellow fever. That's not as big a problem as it used to be, but it's a problem. Dengue is infecting upwards of 50 million people a year. It's traveling around because it's a tremendous beneficiary of globalization.
Mm.
One of the places it loves to breed is in used tires, of which there are billions exported throughout the world every year.
In the standing
year.
Water in the tires.
Little teeny puddles made for Aedes aegypti. So some scientists around the world have been working on this, and a group at Oxford, who was at Oxford and now work for a company called Oxitec, modified the male so that it produces a protein that kind of makes it out of control. It develops wings badly. And basically, you can mate these males. They'll mate fine. Then they will die because mosquitoes only live about 10 to 12 days. And all the eggs that are laid by the female mosquito will die before they reach adulthood, which is in 2 or 3 days. So the result would be that the more you mate these lab-bred mosquitoes with wild females, the more the eggs would be impotent and die and not be able to carry dengue.
And the idea here is to deliberately take a genetic malformation, a mutation, and to generalize it throughout a population with the idea that it's going to have, I mean, you would have to do something massive to have any impact on mosquitoes.
Oh, it's massive. I was in Brazil where they're doing this as an experiment in a very small area. And you can do it in a small area because a very sort of adventurous mosquito will travel a couple hundred yards in his or her life. And plus, female mosquitoes bite, males don't. So they're releasing millions of male mosquitoes in areas that are a few hundred meters wide and long, and seeing if what results they have in terms of mating and eggs, and which eggs are genetically modified and which are not.
And what do you think of the both potential for danger from this aggressive genetic modification in a species that is in the food chain somewhere, somehow, versus the chance of it actually working?
Well, I think you have to think of a couple things, and one is, is it in the food chain? Because there are many types of mosquitoes, and I wouldn't argue, nor would I be qualified to argue, that if we got rid of all of them, that would be just fine for the food chain. Though there are entomologists who argue that, and they argue it forcefully. I don't think there are many entomologists who think that Aedes aegypti, which has been an invasive species in South and North America, came over on slave ships, and it has been here for a couple hundred years. That they could be gone, because that's really not enough time to make an evolutionary impact anywhere. So there are not any, that I found, any scientists who study these insects who say, without Aedes, we're going to lose the ability for X to eat Aedes and something to eat X.
Is genetic modification a corrective for some of the changes that took place in the slave trade, in the migrations of populations over the last 500 years? In other words, can you do genetic modification to correct for unforeseen consequences of globalization?
It's an interesting question, because I think what most people worry about with genetic modification is the opposite, which is creating unforeseen consequences.
Right.
And I don't know that looking at it as something you can correct or as a corrective to bad, to past behavior is useful. I just think you need to look at individual problems. Right now, dengue infects tens of millions of people, and it's really important to note that there isn't a treatment and there isn't a cure. It's not like take two aspirin, so why are we modifying mosquitoes? It's a very damaging disease. Its nickname is breakbone fever, because people often feel like someone's hammering at their bones with an anvil, with a pulverizer. It's really very, very difficult to deal with. And it kills people. It kills 50, 60,000 a year, which is a small fraction of those it infects. But it's, again, a serious disease that we have no way of controlling. And what we do now is we dump as many chemicals as we need to dump in the backyards of the places where those mosquitoes exist.
And cleaning up the tires would be one very small step we could take to come at this, but it's a little late for that.
I have to be honest, I didn't really look into this, but I can't imagine that would be possible.
Right.
I think there are 4 billion tires exported in the world every year. So if you got out with your little vacuum packs or sponges, you'd have to be employing about a third of the world to do that.
So finally, looking at your career and reading this piece, in many ways, you have studied the narrative of how viruses get aboard the human. And in many ways, I'm motivated to ask you, do you think this is a more novel approach for viruses? In other words, are viruses smarter inside the mosquito? They've managed to hitchhike aboard. Do they terrify you more? Are they different from some of the other viruses you've studied?
Well, smarter. I hate to attribute intelligence to a virus. They're awfully effective.
Yeah.
And I think when you combine mosquitoes and diseases like dengue and anopheles, they're just awesome killing machines together. I mean, you couldn't invent anything more effective, because really getting rid of all mosquitoes is something that, even if it is desirable, is pretty impossible. So it's been very difficult, and it's been very difficult for millions of years since they started to evolve.
And could genetic engineering possibly be a key here? It's the subject of Michael Spector's new article, The Mosquito Solution, which appears in this week's New Yorker. Michael, thanks so much.
Oh, happy to be here.
Mosquito control, is it possible? We'd love to hear your thoughts. 877-8MYTAKE.